Well, hi, and welcome to another of the Canadian Association of Professional Speakers Business Growth Series teleseminars. I'm really excited about this call. We have Gideon Shalwick on all the way from Brisbane, Australia. Before I introduce Gideon, let me tell you a little bit about this series. So as you probably know, this is something that's offered pretty well exclusively to the CAPS members. Other people can, of course, sign in as well, but primarily for the CAPS members. And these are one-hour interviews with real experts out there, and it's intended to help our members to grow their business, to get access to expertise that they might not otherwise get access to, but also to use these as a resource to grow their business. And I always like to remind people that as soon as you sign in to your CAPS website, which of course is at CanadianSpeakers.org, you will see on the left-hand side business webinars. And if you click on that, you'll get access to all sorts of recordings. We've had people like Todd Maffin and Linda Edgecombe and Rebecca Morgan and Brett Ridgway. And more recently, we've had Michael Lossier, the author of The Law of Attraction, David Meerman Scott, the best-selling author of The New Rules of PR and Marketing, and in April, Michael Port, the four-times bestseller of books like Book Yourself Solid. So on this call, we've got Gideon Shalwick, and Gideon's going to tell us all about video blogging. It's a one-hour call, and so I really encourage you to make sure you've got some questions ready for our Q&A period. You can also type them in on the screen. Let me tell you a little bit about Gideon. So Gideon has got a background in professional project management and a very successful career, which he left in 2006 to venture out on his own at the same time as immigrating to Australia and to build up his own online business. Now, I've been watching Gideon over the last couple of years with his video blogging tools and his books on video blogging, and have really been impressed by how quickly he's grown his business. He's got three products that are big-time downloaders. He's got the roadmap to becoming a blogger, which has been downloaded over 35,000 times. He's got a book on magic, which has been downloaded over 30,000 times, and his rapid video blogging, which has been downloaded 17,000 times. And if you go onto YouTube and just type in his name, Gideon Shalwick, you'll see that he's got YouTube videos that have been watched as many as 70,000 times. So I'm very excited about this program. I've asked Gideon to come on and talk to us about video blogging, the use of video, how to get started with video, and most importantly, how to use video to drive sales. All right, well, let's get started with Gideon.
What I wanted to get started with was just give people a sense of, what do you do? So if you just, tell us a little bit about the current, because I know that often our businesses morph as we learn more and get exposure to different markets. But, what do you do now, Gideon? Like, what fills your bucket, and what kind of products are you selling, and to what kind of markets?
Right. At the moment, I'm involved in quite a few things. I guess the main focus for me for the last 3 years, in particular, has been video marketing and creating products educational products that help people to grow their businesses using video marketing. And so I guess that's been a big focus of mine, and I've been able to do it because I've had some previous success and previous case studies where I've tried out some of my theories to so that I don't just teach from theories but I actually teach from practice and getting my own results. And so I'm really strong in that, teaching from experience. But it all started for me about 5 years ago. This is when I was still in New Zealand. I had a normal day job, 9-to-5 type of job, but there was something not quite right for me about having a job, and this was unique to me. But perhaps some other people share the similar sort of feelings and sentiments. But there were three things that were bothering me, and the first one was that the day that I'd stop working, I'd stop getting paid. this is typical for a job. The second thing was that I was busy creating an asset for the business and not for me. And that was also a problem because, once again, the day I'd leave, I wouldn't be able to take that asset with me, and I would never be able to leverage that asset. So it was, a problem in the back of my mind. And the third thing was that I felt kind of stuck, in the job, because I never quite felt that I could really do what I wanted to do and when I wanted to do it, or for that matter, where I wanted to do that. And so with those three things, pulling at me, I was, kind of looking for an adventure or for a way out, I guess. And it was, you know, soon after that that I read a book called, it was before that that, you know, that got me thinking about this, that I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And, you know, that really got me thinking in that way. But it took me about, quite a while to really get enough courage to kind of quit my job and to immigrate to Australia and start a new business here. We ended up doing that. We landed in Australia. We cut off all our ties and engagements or baggage, I guess you could call it, back in New Zealand, and started afresh in New Zealand, in Australia. And, you know, it's been 5 years now. We've had a few setbacks. We've had a few successes. And today I'm able to teach from that experience. As you've mentioned, I've had some good success with Become a Blogger project that I did with one of my business partners, Ciara Starek. That business has a following of around about 35,000 people now. When we launched it, we within the first 3 months or so, we built it up to $20,000 a month sort of a business. That's going nice and strong now. And it ties in really back with those first initial things I had, you know, building an income and building an asset that I could leverage. You know, for example, today we don't do much in that business, but it keeps on generating income for us. The second one was in the magic space, where I did an experiment with a magician friend of mine, a local magician, and the challenge really was to make him famous. And within about a year or two, we took JJ, my next business partner, from just a local sort of magician to someone that was renowned worldwide, you know. And we became it's hard to measure these things, but I think we were pretty much the number one street magic YouTube channel in the world. Definitely in Australia, the biggest street magic channel. So that was pretty awesome, you know, and we built up that following to around about 50,000 people just before I left. That was about a year and a half ago. And my most recent one has been the rapid video blogging one, and you know, that business got about 23,000 people following now as well. And this is where I'm now teaching people what I've been doing and how they can follow in my footsteps. So, yeah, it's been a really fun journey, and, I guess what I do enjoy is being able to teach from things that's actually worked for me and giving people some shortcuts so they don't have to make the same mistakes that I did.
Well, you know, that's great. You know, and there's a couple of things that I've noticed as I've watched you over the last, I guess, year and a half. And, you know, one is you have a natural sort of infectious, you know, video presence, which is really interesting to watch. Like you're excited, you know, like you get excited about, you know, the new stylus to use on your iPad or whatever. And that's fun. The other thing is I've noticed is that you continually get better. And I think that if there's maybe one theme to this interview, I'd like to, you know, get as much information as I can from you in terms of, well, how is, you know, in other words, like, your videos that you create now, I think, are, you know, the content is still great, but the production is better, the lighting is better. I think that there's something, I'm guessing there's something about your project management background that leads you to be more strategic and thoughtful than maybe others in terms of, you know, this progression in terms of constantly testing and looking. And obviously the results are working. I was looking at one of your videos today and had over 68,000 viewers on that video. And that's not that easy to do in the crowded space of YouTube. So, but first thing I'd like to find out is just, you know, at a very basic level, why video? There's lots of other ways to communicate, but you keep coming back to video. So maybe tell us a little bit about that, because clearly, you know, for a lot of people, there's a technical barrier there. But why video? Why for you?
Okay, I think, you know, that's a brilliant question, and we could make it even more interesting by saying, you know, why video and why now? You know, why video now? Specifically, and you know, I think there are really three really massive forces playing together that, you know, I think is kind of a wake up call if you haven't seen the power of video for you know, for not just for funny cat and baby kind of videos, but also for the more serious type where you're trying to get a bit of exposure, either for your, if you're a public speaker, for example, or if you're an author, or if you're a business owner. Something like YouTube is a tremendous platform to use. And the three forces are these ones. There's the economic force, which is, if you look at you know, the amount of spending that's gone up in video over the last year or two, it's gone up tremendously. I think it's either number one or number two now in terms of what businesses are spending. You know, of a recent survey that I think it was HubSpot that had a survey like that. And so that's a very interesting trend. The other one that I economic trend that I saw end of last year was, for the first time in history, the number of TV sales, television sales, went down in the United States. And when I saw that, I was just going, yay, finally, you know, because I've been sort of predicting this for, you know, a number of years already. And so this is the first time that I saw that. And I think it's pointing towards an amazing shift that's happening. So that's kind of the economic forces at play. The second force is the social forces happening. If you look at the statistics, just a few interesting statistics about YouTube, for example, YouTube is now getting, you know, over 4 billion views a day. And, you know, at the start of this year, I think it was February or something, they were sitting at 3 billion views a day, you know, and it's just gone nuts. It's just really going crazy. There's like 60 hours worth of video uploaded every single minute of the day. And in just the time that we've been talking, you know, we probably had a week's worth of video being uploaded to YouTube, just in that little bit of time. You know, combine that with the massive social media trends that's been going on. I mean, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest now coming through as well. And who knows what's next? You know, there's some amazing social forces at play here. And then the third one, which kind of ties it all together, is the technological forces. And nowadays, it's extremely easy and fast and affordable to create videos. You know, 5 years ago when I started this game, it was quite difficult, quite expensive, and very frustrating and slow to create online video. And you had to, like, either become a pro yourself or hire a pro to do this for you. And, you know, it was very difficult to pull it off properly. But nowadays, you know, with iPhone cameras, really affordable, good handy cams, you can create some, you know, and also the DSLR cameras these days, you can create amazing, amazing video, you know, with a very affordable budget, very quickly, and without too much trouble. So, you know, those three forces playing together, the economic forces, social forces, and technological forces, play together to create an amazing opportunity for us, you know, as business owners, as public speakers, authors, content creators, anybody who's interested in getting exposure and getting the message out, even if you're a political organization or a non-for-profit or a charity, that we have these amazing forces creating this amazing opportunity. And all we've got to do really is step into this opportunity to start taking advantage of it. And that'll take us through to the next level.
Right, and of course...
So that's my answer to why video and why now.
Right, and what goes, you know, what goes along with that, I think, also is maybe we have, you know, the reader fatigue. So in other words, how many emails are our clients or our prospects going to read from us? Whereas if you, you know, occasionally send them a video to watch, you know, will your readership go up, right? Because it's just, it's more entertaining. It's got that, it appeals to that, you know, the desire to maybe take a little bit of a break and have a short little break from your workday where you actually watch something rather than having to work to read it. So I think it has that going for it. The other thing, Gideon, I want to add, and I think this is really an important point for people that have not stepped into this whole realm, is that video doesn't have to always be the camera pointed at you. So it could be, you know, PowerPoint with audio, you know, put into ScreenFlow or a Camtasia, right? So there's other ways than just the classic headshot. You know, tell me more about that. Like, are you using other ways, or what have you seen work?
Oh, totally. I mean, my preference is for the kind of videos that I create for my personal channel is the sort of headshot videos where it's sort of more educational in intent. But I mean, it really doesn't matter all that much. You can create very engaging content in using many different methods and very easily and very quickly. I mean, you've mentioned the screen capture type of stuff with using PowerPoint or Keynote, with Camtasia or ScreenFlow respectively. With your own PC or Mac. And, you know, that's a very easy and very quick way of creating great content. All you've got to make sure is that you make your content engaging. And there's little tricks that you can use for making it more engaging and keeping people to watch your videos. But, I mean, that, you know, you don't even need a camera for that. So you just need a computer and a piece of software and a good microphone, and you're away. And, of course, an internet connection.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that's the easiest kind of video you can probably create. And then you can take it up in steps, and depending on what you're trying to achieve. If you just want to do quick and dirty sort of videos, you can even just use something like your iPhone or the phone on your camera, or something like the Kodak ZI-8, which is now, I believe, out of production, unfortunately, because the iPhone type of cameras are just kind of taking over. But I mean, you know, that's the sort of the next level up. And then you've got the handy cams. You want to get a slightly better camera, and then you've got the DSLR cameras, and you can go into the pro cameras as well. So there's a whole range of levels of videos that you can create. But my recommendation always is just for people to get started with whatever they've got and to just get something up, you know, so you can start getting a bit of experience for how it works and getting something out there.
That's my
recommendation.
Let's talk. I'm already seeing some questions come in. You know, people want to know what kind of cameras. But before we get into like the technical side of it, and I know you've got an excellent video. I'm not sure when you filmed it. Maybe the end of last year when you moved to your new office, which really I thought gave a great overview of, you know, the lights and the background. But before we get into that, I think it'd just be useful just to spend a couple of minutes on why would I do it in terms of what would be my campaign or my topic. So in other words, you know, the classic would be, in the speaking world would be, hey, I'm a speaker or a seminar leader, and here is a bunch of shots of me on stage that someone compiled for me. And that's, you know, for decades been the use of video, but that's typically very expensive, difficult to catch because you have to have a camera crew, you're in a poorly lit room, there's sound issues. If you can have that sort of a thing, that's an amazing marketing tool. But you use video for a lot of other things. Can you just kind of maybe give us kind of a shopping list, Gideon? Like, what would be some of the the uses of a video, or when you sit down in front of a camera, what are some of the different purposes that you're using it for?
Well, I think if we can step it back a couple of steps, and just look at, you know, what is the purpose of creating these videos? Mm-hmm. And in many cases, let's make it more specific for public speakers. As a public speaker, I'd imagine that one of your main purposes is to reach a big as possible audience, mm-hmm. you know, make that audience as massive as possible. And so the next question then is how? You know, how do you do that? So one is to do like a road trip type of thing and go from city to city or from organization to organization, whatever your approach is, and go and speak and get on stage in front of people and use other people to, you know, who have audiences to promote you, and you go and speak in front of the audiences. So that's one way. The other way is to use something like YouTube as a promotional platform for you. Now, one of the first challenges that I find many people get into, especially people who've never really used YouTube as a sort of a promotional platform, is that they kind of look at YouTube as a television station or a channel. Hmm. And they have this thought in the back of their minds that all they have to do is create a little 1 or 2 minute a tutorial type of video that advertises their business or their public speaking ability or whatever, and throw it up on YouTube, and then the hordes will come, all the millions will come and watch your video, and you'll become famous overnight. And of course, it doesn't work that way. YouTube is a very different platform to that of television. And you know, I believe that's why television is getting phased out. You know, I'm kind of hoping that it does as well, because it's not serving us as well as it could anymore. And the difference is that on YouTube, you can't just throw up an advertisement and expect to get success from that. In isolated cases, you can still do that. Like the, you know, always a good example that I quote is the Old Spice ad that was run a couple of years ago or so. And, you know, that was a very good viral campaign. But, I mean, that took a lot of money to get going and a lot of effort. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes it bombs. And I think a much better approach is to look at YouTube as a place where you can provide amazing value on a consistent and regular basis. And by doing that, you build your audience over time, an audience that becomes raving fans who keep on coming back to watch more of your content and who tell all their friends and colleagues and families about what you're doing to help grow your presence online and specifically on YouTube. So it really comes back to that value proposition. What is the value that you can provide to your target audience? And before you can even answer that question about value, you need to know who your target audience is. And we're getting, you know, a bit more into the marketing side of things here. But, you know, you got to figure out who is your target audience. You know, who is it that you're trying to reach as a public speaker? And, you know, once you get a really clear picture on that, then you can ask yourself the question, okay, if this is my target audience, what kind of content can I create for them? What kind of problems can I solve for them through the content that I create for them on my YouTube channel? And then you think about how you can do that on a consistent, regular basis. And it sounds like hard work, but I mean, you could do one a month if you want to. I mean, I suggest one a week or maybe two a week when you get started. And also, you don't have to have professional Hollywood-style videos. You can do something just on your iPhone or your handycam, or even your webcam or the screencast videos. But you know, I think if you start from that level and thinking about how can I provide value and who am I providing this value for, then your chance of success and getting mass exposure on a platform like YouTube is just so much greater.
So this is great. You know, it really hinges off of what David Meerman Scott was talking about in, you know, his ideas around viral marketing and in his book, The New Rules of PR and Marketing. So we want to think like a publisher. And as you said, ask yourself, what problems can I solve for the market that I'm trying to attract and provide amazing value? You know, I think sometimes it's useful for us just to ask ourselves, well, at the end of my presentation, what do people come up and talk to me about? Or what do they ask me about? Or when I'm presenting, what is it that, you know, raises the most eyebrows or gets the most reaction? And maybe there's a topic right there. Because I noticed that, Gideon, what you do very well is that you focus on quite a finite, specific topic in a video. For the most part, it seems like. In other words, you pick one kind of conversation and then you address it in that video. And I'm not sure how long yours are, but these aren't like just a couple of minutes. But you address one issue that might be going on in your customer's mind. Is that a good description of how you approach it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with each video, I don't try to do too much. You know, it's not like an event. A public speaking event where I have people there for 2 hours or a whole day where I can go through a whole range of different topics related to an umbrella topic. You know, with the videos on YouTube, I normally try and keep them short, solve one specific little problem, and that's it for the video. You know, and I think as a public speaker for, you know, everyone listening to this, if you're a public speaker, you already have a ton of content created. You know, at right. least in terms of your preparation, your slides, and that sort of thing, and also you will have a pretty good idea of your target audience. So you're already like way ahead of everyone else who's just getting started on YouTube, and you know you can then use that to come up with short video ideas that you can create on a regular basis. I mean, if you're a public speaker, you'd be, I'd imagine, quite used to speaking, you know, for an hour on, you know, on many occasions, or maybe a full day type of event if you're, or maybe 3 day events, if you do more the Tony Robbins style kind of public speaking. And, you know, you would have no problem coming up with 5 minutes worth of content. You know, mm-hmm. it's often, you know, often I would get an idea in my head about a specific video where it solves a specific problem, or it's just something really exciting that I want to share. Because I've got my studio all set up, I would just go and turn the lights on, press record, you know, press stop, get it on my computer, get it to my editor, and within, you know, a very quick time, I can have a little video up on YouTube and starting to get me some traffic, feedback, comments, likes, all this sort of stuff, and make the thing go viral within my community. So, you know, you don't have to have an hour-long presentation to have a video up on YouTube. You can just do nice short little bits, and it doesn't have to take you long at all to get these little videos up.
Nice. So we've got a couple of questions I want to address soon. One of them I want to address right now because I just think it's kind of fundamental to this whole conversation. And I think you've addressed it in a way, but I just want to make sure everybody on the call really gets this, because I had the same question posed to me yesterday, and that is, okay, YouTube is free, so how do we make money from video blogging? You know, it's this whole question around, so if I'm giving this stuff away for free, is this really a good use of my time? And will it end up bringing me money? You know, I mean, it's is this a really a good strategy? You know, I think you've already kind of addressed it, Gideon, but could you just like take a shot at that again?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I get that question often as well. The main way that I look at YouTube is as a traffic source and as a relationship building tool. That's it. It's a traffic source and a relationship building tool. Now, yes, I do make a little bit of money from the YouTube Partner Program, where, you know, we share in the ad AdSense gets you know, the ads get displayed on my little videos. But I mean, that's minuscule in comparison to the other money that I make as a result of getting that traffic to my own online assets. So here's the process. I use YouTube. I upload my little videos, and the idea is that I gather a percentage of these 4 billion views every single day. I just get them on my channel and get them to watch my videos. And I provide valuable content that solves, specific little problems for them. And that in and of itself gets me the traffic, gets me the views, and builds the relationship, right? From that point onward, when you watch my videos, you'll know that I drive people pretty much with every single video to one of my online assets. In other words, my blog or squeeze page or another website. And that's where the traffic comes in. So the first thing is views you get through your videos, and, you know, and from there you drive those people from YouTube to your own website. And so as a public speaker, I really recommend that you have your own website where you can at least start building your own database. Because here's the thing, you don't actually own your channel on YouTube. You don't own the subscribers that you have on YouTube. And so what you have to do is build your own database that you actually own, build your own asset. And so you've got to drive that the views you get from YouTube back to your own website, so that you can start building your own traffic and your own database. And from there, you know, that's really the beginning of your business funnel. And if you're familiar with the business funnel, you'll have a lead generating sort of mechanism at the front where you get traffic, you build your leads, and then from that point onward, you'll introduce people to products that you have within your business. For example, you might start off with a $100 product. And then maybe a $200 product, and maybe move it up to $500 and $1,000, $2,000 product, and maybe eventually getting people to your $3,000 events or whatever you have built into your the back end for your business funnel. And that's where the money gets made. So really, YouTube really only serves to help get traffic into my business funnel. That's really what it's about. And it's extremely highly qualified traffic, because, you know, once people get to your site, they've already watched one or two or three of your videos, and they already have built up some sort of a relationship with you. And we all know that people like doing business with other people they like, know, and trust, right? And using YouTube is an amazing medium like that, because, as I said, once they get to your site and once they want to opt in for your newsletter or whatever database creation technique you're using on your site, they already feel like they like, know, and trust you. And so you're getting very highly qualified traffic and leads into your business that you can then introduce to your other product and services that you have in the back end of your business.
Nice.
So that's,
yeah,
that's really the overall methodology that I teach and use myself, and it looks great.
Nice. And you know, and just to clarify, you know, and to add on that, I think, is even if you don't have your products, like you don't have that $100 product or that $3,000 boot camp, I would still contend that it's a fantastic way to get to stay in touch with your clients and to get them to know and like you, trust you, because it's, you know, in my world, it's not just about being on YouTube, it's also about being on my blog. And so when I send out an email that has a high quality video on it, I'm going to get people that already have heard about me or you know, somehow they've gotten on my list to actually pay more attention to me. And so when they're ready to make a decision for a live event, I'm more likely to get chosen, I think, because I've stayed in touch with them in an interesting way and provided free content. Like, it hasn't been sales pitches. It's been free, high-quality content. And so I think that there's an argument there, because a lot of listeners, I don't have a product line yet. And, of course, that's where everybody would love to go. But in the meantime, you still have your live events. You still have your live services that you can offer. And I think it's a fantastic way to stay in touch with people, you know, with
absolutely.
But again, with content, though, real solid content that they can learn from.
One way if you look at it, it's like it's, try before you buy kind of thing, or taste the cake before you. So have a bit of a taste of the cake before you buy the cake. And it's the same way that you can look at YouTube. You know, the little bits of information that you provide on a regular basis on YouTube is really just a way to give your audience a taste of what you're like and what you can help them with. And that sort of thing can really increase the conversion rates for you when it comes to, you know, promoting your products or services. And you know, I think also if you don't have a product, if there's two really neat ways that you can start making money from this. And the first one is probably the easiest one. Is if you're doing consultancy, for example, you could provide people with advice and do one-on-one sort of consultations with people. That's probably the quickest way that you can make money online. It's just by, if you have some sort of area of expertise, you're able to build a list, a database based on that. And you can then tell people about it and say, look, if you want to grab me for an hour, it's $120 an hour or whatever, $50 an hour, whatever your charge out rate is. You know, you can get paid instantly, you know, very quickly. That's a really quick and practical way of sort of monetizing that traffic that you can get from YouTube. Of course, another one that's really easy is the affiliate marketing model, where you basically promote other people's products and get paid a commission on that. For that, it really makes sense to, you know, you really need to build your audience quite nicely with that to make that worthwhile. But so I think that, you know, the first one is if you're a public speaker, you're probably quite good with consultancy type of work in any case. And, you can look at YouTube as an amazing lead generator for that sort of business.
Right. Nice. And, of course, with most people now with their WordPress-based website, they can easily drop a YouTube video right onto their website and host it there as well. So it doesn't always have to be about the traffic going to YouTube. It can also, that video can nicely reside in on your website or in Vimeo or something like that, and you can then drop the HTML into your website. So in other words, it's also about driving traffic directly to your website.
Yeah, that's right. I often get this question, you know, like, should you embed your videos on your blog and your YouTube videos and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it doesn't really matter what you have on your blog all that much. I mean, the method that I have is that I have all my sort of traffic type of generation and relationship building videos on YouTube. You know, the purpose there is once again to build traffic and to build relationship. But then I send people to my blog or my squeeze pages, and the main purpose of my blogs and squeeze pages is really to build the list, to build the database, so that I can stay in touch with people and keep on telling them about amazing content that I have and send them to specific promotions that I might have. And so yeah, you can, I mean, my method is that I embed all those same videos that I have on YouTube on my own blog as well, the blog that I actually own, and add a bit of extra value there, like extra content, text-based content, and also build my list from there as well. So, and there are some other benefits, you know, to doing that that, you know, might be a bit too complicated to get into this call, but there are definitely some benefits of hosting your own YouTube videos on your own blog as well.
Okay. Hey, maybe we should talk a little bit about technical stuff. So I know that some people are going to have questions around, you know, well, how do I get started? And you've mentioned a number of times, you know, you could use your iPhone video, or you could use some kind of a small HD type video. So for a person that's just getting started and has never tried this before, what are some of the basics so that you can get a reasonable quality?
All right, so we've talked about the real quick and easy way. You don't even need a camera. It's just to use screen capture software. So on PC, it's Camtasia, of course, and then on Mac, it's a ScreenFlow. There is a Camtasia version on Mac as well. I haven't really used it. I've just been sticking with ScreenFlow because it's amazing. And, you know, that's pretty cool software that you can use for recording your screens if you've got a presentation, for example, and you just need a good microphone to record your voice while you're doing that as well. And from there, you can do a bit of editing in the software and then export it and then upload it to YouTube, and you're away. So that's real quick and easy. To take it to the next level up, you can just use your webcam to get your face on there as well. You can use that with ScreenFlow, definitely. I'm not sure about Camtasia, how that works, but you can get your face on there with your little webcam. Recording other types of videos just with your webcam, it's a little bit more challenging because not many people know how to get the, you know, where that video gets recorded and how to edit that video from the webcam. But if you know how to do that, you know, pretty easy. Yeah, you can on Mac, you can still use ScreenFlow to do the editing for that, or iMovie, which is free. On PC, you're probably going to need some better software there. And the software that I recommend for PC, just if you're getting started but you just want a little bit more features, is something like Sony Vegas HD, I think it's called. It's like $40 or something. It's pretty powerful for creating some really great looking videos. In terms of cameras, if you want to take things to the next level, there is like your iPhone camera or your normal phone camera. You can use those if you know how to get that onto your computer for editing. You can use those same programs, ScreenFlow or on Mac, and Sony Vegas on PC. And you can get some pretty good results. Next level up from that, of course, is your little flip-type cameras like the Kodak ZI-8. I mean, if you can get your hands on a Kodak ZI-8, maybe go to Amazon and see if they're around. They should be around. They're amazing little cameras because they record in HD. They've got an external microphone jack to help you get the sound better when you plug a little lapel microphone into there. It records on a little SD card, which is makes it very easy to get it onto your computer. And it records in a nice format as well. That means you can use on both PC and Mac. And from there, you can just edit using those same software programs I mentioned. Works brilliantly on both PC and Mac. Next level up from that is to use handycams, your normal consumer-based type of handycams. I don't really like those too much because they record in a format called AVC HD in most cases, which is a real pain to deal with. You know, if you want to edit them on your computer, it's kind of nice for just home videos. You don't want to really edit too much, but if you want to edit things a little bit, then it's a real pain because it's really slow and cumbersome to use that format. So the next level up from that is what I use now mostly is DSLR cameras with a video capability. And the one that I've got is a Canon 60D. And that one is specifically good for video because it's got a few nice features built into it, like, for example, It has an external microphone jack. You can plug a microphone into it. And along with that, in the software, you can adjust the audio levels, which is a very powerful feature. So you can make the audio sound really, really good. It has a little flip LCD screen that you can flip around so that you can actually, you know, see yourself while you're see yourself in the viewfinder while you're recording, which is very important if you're just you know, doing it all by yourself. All you need is a little remote control to be able to press start and stop, and you're away. So, and it's got a few other really nice features, you know, other than being able to create amazing video, because you can, you know, you can pretty much put any kind of lens on there to get nice depth of field or zoom in and zoom out and all this sort of stuff. Just amazing cameras. Disclaimer with that one is that, you know, it's quite a heavy learning curve if you've never used a DSLR camera before. This particular model that I have can only record for about 12 minutes per clip. So which means if you've got videos longer than that, you know, it's not really appropriate for those sort of videos. So it's not the kind of camera you'd use for recording events. There are tweaks that you can use for changing the firmware to make it record much longer, but you know, that gets quite technical and advanced, and you know, I haven't even tried doing that myself, but I know that it is possible if you do want to use it for that. And then you can go up even another level where you start getting more the prosumer and professional sort of video cameras. But really, I think if you're getting to that stage, you're better off just hiring someone who already has a camera like that to get it done for you.
Yeah.
That's really the range.
One of the things that seems to make a huge difference once you get the camera figured out and you get it onto a tripod, of course, is the lighting. And I've noticed that you've done a great job with that. I noticed that a lot of people refer to this now as the Apple video lighting, you know, where you don't have to do it this way, obviously, but, you know, the really sharp contrast of the white background. Can you just kind of give us a couple of quick pointers on how to improve the lighting, especially if you're doing this indoors?
Yeah, sure. There are two things you can do. If you've just got a, you know, with any camera, really, where you can increase your production quality significantly. You know, it's funny when you look at your experience, your impression, your quality impression of a video is heavily dependent on two things, and that is the sound. Firstly, the sound of your video, the quality of the sound, and then the lighting that you use when you're recording. You know, that can increase the production value of your recording quite a lot. And the sound one, I mean, just think back perhaps to a video that you've watched or a presentation you've been to where you could visually see everything really well, but the sound was crackling or something not working or it was really soft. It totally detracted from your experience, right? And it didn't matter how good the lighting was. If the sound was bad, your experience of that video was bad. So you got to get the sound right first. When it comes to lighting, you know, the best sort of lighting is actually outside in the shade. On a sunny day in the shade, it's the sort of best sort of lighting you can get for most cameras. But if you're inside, of course, it's more controllable if you're in the studio sort of setup. And you know, I use professional lights for my recording studio, and I show people exactly what equipment I use when they get into my newsletter. I've got a little mini course that people go through, a free mini course. We could talk about that in a second. But I show you exactly the model of lighting that I use. It's a bit more expensive, but there's also very affordable options too, where you can get away with, you know, something like $100 and you've got a really nice lighting setup for your studio to get pretty much exactly the same results that I'm getting. So you don't need to spend a lot of money to make it look good. But I think it's not just a camera. You've got to get the lighting right as well as the sound.
Why don't we do this? Thank you for that. Why don't we do this? We've got a couple of I know people are typing in questions. They want, you know, excuse me. They're asking, you know, I couldn't upload my video to YouTube. I know we've got one question from Steve in Halifax. If he wants to change his YouTube channel, What should you consider in moving the videos from the old YouTube channel to the new one? And then also, so I'll ask you to answer that one, Gideon. But in the meantime, if people wanted to push star 2 on their telephone, star 2, that will raise your hand, and I'll also open the lines for you for a few minutes for asking questions directly. But what about that, Gideon? So YouTube channel, I want to change over. What do I have to consider?
All right. First question is, why do you want to change over? is it just because of a branding thing? Do you want a different name? Or is there another reason? Do you just want to take a specific set of videos over to a new channel? I think that, you know, if you're, there's no easy way. If you want to basically take your videos from one channel to another one, there's no easy way. The best way, I'm not sure if it's necessarily easy, but the best way is if you have the original files still in your computer or somewhere, is to create a new channel and then to upload those videos again from your computer up onto YouTube. So it'll be a time-consuming thing, but that will get you the best result. I'm not aware of any software or technology that exists where you can just basically grab the videos from your one YouTube account and transfer them to another YouTube account. Unfortunately, YouTube's pretty strict with that, and I mean, they don't even allow you to change your username. There are ways where you can mask your username, but you can't just change it. You basically have to create a new one if you want a different username, which is quite annoying. A lot of people are complaining about that, but YouTube they do have their reasons for that, I'm sure. So I think the best way really is to create a new channel and then to upload those videos if you still have the original source files.
Okay, good one. And if people are having trouble uploading their videos from a webcam to YouTube, what do you think is probably going on there?
Well, it depends on where those videos get recorded too on their computer. So if they're recording it straight, I'm assuming they're recording those videos straight on their computer, and if they are, that file that's recorded on the computer may be quite big, and might take quite a while to upload to YouTube. You know, that's why I always recommend people edit their videos first in a program like ScreenFlow if you're on Mac, and Sony Vegas on PC, or I mean iMovie as well on Mac is fine if you just want to use a free software. And then export the video using the right export settings to get it in a good enough format that you can then upload to YouTube. And I mean, on my blog, I one of the main pages that I have there, the export settings page, I specify exactly the best sort of export settings for these software programs to help you get the best result.
What is the length now, Gideon? Like, what are we allowed on YouTube for a length of video?
I think you start off with a 10-minute limit when you create a new account. Once you've had the account for a bit longer, I can't remember all the details. Maybe you start with 15, but you know, at some point they bump it up to 15 minutes, and if you've proven yourself enough, you can have an unlimited. Length of videos. I know for partners, definitely, you know, I can upload a video that's as long as I want. But I think, yeah, you kind of got to earn it. I'm not exactly sure what the starting upload time is at the moment. I think it might be 15 minutes, which is plenty of time for most of the videos on YouTube.
Okay, and thanks. I'm just going through some of the questions here. You're attracting a lot of attention, by the way. Could you spell out give us the name of the Canon camera that you mentioned? What is that model again of the Canon camera?
Yeah, sure. It's Canon is the brand, and the model number is 60D. So it's a 60, and then the letter D for Delta.
Right, but that's a fairly high-end camera. You've got interchangeable lenses, right? And that's the one that you said is also it's going to limit them to only 12 minutes, correct?
Yes, that's right. It's 12 minutes per clip. But you know, it's never ever really been a problem for me. I've even, you know, what I often do is if I have a video that might be an hour long, I would just have multiple recordings of 12 minutes, you know, and then just put them together during editing. It's pretty straightforward. You know, just get those little 12-minute videos onto your computer and then throw them together in the editing program. It's pretty easy. You know, it's not a big deal.
And then the other one, the discontinued one was the Kodak Z8, isn't it?
Z8, yeah, it was the
I'm I8. I'm sorry, Z8.
Z is Z for zebra, I for India, and the number 8.
Okay, one of the things, Gideon, that we've got about 8 minutes left here, I think that would be useful is when you post your video on YouTube, you know, there's a lot of things that are settings that we can control. There's the tags we can put in. What are some of the things that you do so that, going back to your earlier comment, so you drive traffic to your website? How do you manage the advertising that pops up? So what are some of the settings that you create or set when you're posting a video on YouTube?
All right, there's a couple of things you got to get wrong, got to get right. Sorry, for best results, and you know, the first thing is I guess what you could call on-page optimization for each video. You know, so for each video, you got to get the title right, the description area, and the tags, and you do that when you're uploading your video. And for your title, it's really important that you have the keyword phrase in there that you're looking to rank for. And if you don't know what that might be, I mean, if you're just beginning at this, a really quick and easy way to figure that out is to just ask yourself, what would people type in to YouTube, into the search bar on YouTube, to try and find your video? You know, is it a how-to video? Is it a announcement type of video? Is it an event type of video? You know, what would people normally type in to search for your video? And you can then just use that as your keyword phrase for your video. And so you add that keyword phrase in your title. In your description area, you know, I always have my link back to my website in the description area. And then inside the description area, I would just have a quick summary of what's inside the video. You know, I'd write that as a normal, almost like a blog post, a little article. Not, you know, and I wouldn't keyword stuff that area at all. I would just write it like a normal human being would write the description area. But maybe throw in your keyword phrase once or twice within that, you know, somewhere within that description. And then same thing in the tags, have your keyword phrase you want to rank for right at the beginning of your tags, and then throw in you know, as many as you want, other tags into the tags area as well, and separate them with a comma, the different phrases. So that's the first thing, really, just to get that right as your video is uploading, get the title right, the description area, and the tags. And then from there, you know, you can do a bunch of other things to help your video rank. You know, the first thing that I do is I once the video is uploaded, so I embed that video on my own site, on my own blog, and that, you know, essentially creates a backlink, a qualified backlink back to your video, which gives YouTube and Google a signal that you know, this video has some sort of authority, some sort of value. Someone else is linking back to it immediately, getting views, you know, encouraging people to like your video and to subscribe and to comment. The likes and comments are becoming much more important now because YouTube's using that now for ranking your videos in the related video areas. So very important that you try and engage your audience as much as possible. Get them to like your videos and comment. The more likes, the more comments you get, basically, the more important YouTube and Google thinks your videos are, and therefore will rank you better. They don't just look at views anymore, which is very awesome, because there's so many, you know, really crappy programs around that give you fake views, and YouTube's really tightened up on that because it doesn't serve anyone, and they're looking for that engagement. So all the more important, and for you as a content creator, to create really great content that your audience loves and get them to interact. And I think for you as a public speaker, you know, that should be pretty easy, because you already have that value that you can provide. All you got to do is get it on video and get it onto YouTube and ask people to engage with you. Now, ask people to leave comments and to like your video. It's as simple as that.
Nice. And I think it's a small setting, but there's a way to turn the advertising off or the pop-up scroll on the video, right, when you're playing, so that the other videos don't pop up.
Yeah, so basically everybody can enter into a partnership agreement with YouTube now. There's different levels of partners, but as an entry point, you know, that allows you to turn your ads on or off, you know, once you activate the partnership account. So that means you can basically choose whether you want ads to show up on your site, on your videos or not, which is pretty cool. So, you know, if you don't want distractions in your videos, for example, you just turn them off within the admin area of your channel when you're uploading a video.
Okay, and that's quite new, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a relatively new thing, absolutely, where it's given everybody that ability to turn them on or off.
Nice. Wow. There's a lot of work here. We've covered a lot of ground. I mean, we started off by talking about the economic rationale for videos, and now we're talking about how to turn advertising off. So this is great. So to get started, you know, if a person hasn't really got their feet wet yet, they haven't really delved into it, they're probably blogging, they probably have a website, what would be the first thing to do to get set up on YouTube? Should they start by getting themselves a channel?
Yeah, I think even before you start a channel, you got to go back to those original questions, those original fundamental questions. And the first one really is, you know, first who and then what? And that who relates to your target audience. You know, who is your target audience and what do they want? You know, what sort of problems and issues and frustrations or needs do they have, and how can you serve them? You know, how can you serve them with the content that you can create on YouTube? And you know, once you have a clear picture on that target audience, your avatar, your ideal sort of audience, then you can get into more the content creation strategies. And you know, there's really four types of content that you can create. The first one is educational, which should be a breeze for you if you're a public speaker. The second one is entertaining, and that should be pretty much a breeze as well for you if you're you know, because you entertain on stage, don't you? Then there's the news kind of videos that report on events and things like that. And then there's the fun social sort of videos that's just, you know, about family and cats and I don't know, funny things. Basically, you can put all sorts of videos under those four categories, and this doesn't include scammy or spammy or advertising type of videos. I don't put them in these categories, but all other videos can really go under there. So if you've got a clear idea of what your target audience is and what they want, then you can ask yourself, okay, which of these categories can I use for creating videos? Does my target audience want educational videos? Do they want to be entertained? Do they want to get news from me? Or do they just want to have sort of fun, interactive kind of videos? And then you can also combine those four areas. For example, with the Magic Channel we had, we combined educational with entertainment. And that worked really, really well. You know, you can do educational with news as well, or entertainment with news, or whatever combinations you want. You can throw them all together in one as well. But it just gives you a nice sort of structure to work from for creating your videos for your target audience. And you know, once you've got a good idea on that, then you can start thinking about, okay, what should I call my channel? What, you know, what name should I give it? Should it be just my own name? Should it be my brand name? Should it be, you know, something that's more descriptive? You'll have a much clearer idea of how you want to brand your channel, because then you'll know who your target audience is. You'll know what kind of content you're going to be creating, and then it just becomes, you know, pretty straightforward to try and figure out the branding for your channel.
It's fantastic, you know, and it's like everything, you know. You just I think nothing is a better instructor than just trying, you know, trying it out. Just get started. Shoot something, see how it works. You know, I remember when I first started doing videos just a little over a year ago, you know, it was pretty basic, right? I think a tripod. And then I realized, oh, the lighting's pretty bad. So then I went out and bought some lights. And then I think you start to figure it out as you go along. I do think that, and I like the way, Gideon, you keep going back to the basics. Like once we address the basics of who and, you know, the who and what, then it all starts to make sense, because I do think that there is a bit of faith that's required here, that I'm going to go and put this effort in, I'm going to go and figure this stuff out, upload this video, and eventually I'm going to be able to drive traffic to it, and it's going to start to attract traffic to me. And but again, I think that until you get started, it all just seems like a great theory that other people do. So I like the way that you've been able to help us to think through, okay, what are the basics, what's some of the fundamental thinking, and then what's some of the technical stuff that we should be that we should be addressing. So first, Gideon, thank you. Thank you for this hour. This has been fantastic.
No problem. You're very welcome.
And what is the best way for people to reach you and learn more about your work?
Well, I think, as I mentioned before, if you're just getting started with this, or you know, if you want to sort of get more advanced information on this as well, I've created some pretty cool resources that will take you by the hand and lead you step by step to get that first result for you. The first resource is a 92-page report that I wrote down, because I got so many questions from people asking me, you know, how do you do this, how do you do that, and how do you get the results that you're getting? And so I just wrote it all down as my philosophy, my method for how to use video blogging to really get a massive exposure and to use it as a business building tool. That's called Rapid Video Blogging. And to accompany that, I've created a 7-part mini video course. All of this is free, and you can get that at rapidvideoblogging.com. So once you sign up, you get access to the report, you can read that, and then you'll get sent the mini course over the next couple of weeks or so.
It's fantastic, and I've actually gone through that report, and it is definitely well worth the read, and it's a great resource. Thanks for that, Gideon.
No problem.
Yeah, thanks. And so thank you, everyone, for being on the call and for all of you that are listening to this as a recording. Of course, you can always log in to CanadianSpeakers.org and get more of the recordings and keep